Welcome to Soundprint. I'm Barbara Bogave. Well, another Christmas season has come and gone, and not a single Christmas caroler appeared at my door. Of course, I know some people equate carolers with mimes. They think of the singers as people of annoyingly good cheer who trespass on their property, bleating out songs they've been subjected to in elevators and stores since Thanksgiving. But I'm not one of these people. In fact, I'd like to be a caroler myself, truth be told. When I was a kid, we'd go caroling on Christmas Eve, and I remember it was magical. It was like Halloween. You got to wander around at night, ringing people's doorbells, and afterwards, they'd often have you in for caramel apples or hot chocolate. It was great because, unlike a lot of the other Christmas activities, it didn't involve going to the mall or elaborate preparation or even much thought at all. Caroling is one of the most traditional experiences one can have during the holidays. It's right up there with Midnight Mass and the lighting of the candles. As Chris Brooks tells us on today's program, caroling, or reveling, as it's sometimes called, has a long and rich history, especially in his part of the world, which is Newfoundland, Canada. In fact, he's a reveler from way back.
Light.
Light.
The moon shines bright and the stars give light, a little before it was day. The moon shines bright and the stars give light, a little before it was day. Our Lord, our God, he calls on us and bids us to watch and to pray.
Turn out the light. Turn out.
I've kept this cassette for 30 years now. A music teacher in Greens Harbor gave it to me in 1973, and it says on the label, Crocker's Cove Carolers, Christmas 1973. I think Crocker's Cove is a part of Greens Harbor, actually. Anyway, the tradition there, what they would do, a group of carolers would go out over the 12 nights of Christmas and walk from house to house. They wouldn't start until around midnight, so it would be dark, and people would have gone to bed, and they would let themselves into the darkened kitchens of the houses and sing these four ancient carols in the darkness. And I thought, you know, what a wonderful scene. I mean, just imagine how magic. Anyway, I'd never heard these carols before. With these old tunes, this tape is so old, it's a bit squeaky now, but this is the Greens Harbor Carolers 30 years ago. And the carol is called The Moon Shines Bright.
You know, the whole picture of being in a house where it's dark and you're in the bed and maybe you wake up and you hear, you know, these voices down in your kitchen. And they're singing those songs. And you will have heard them. You heard them last Christmas. You heard them the Christmas before. There's something comforting and ritualistic. And I can imagine that if... I wasn't part of that tradition, but I can imagine myself in that tradition. I think that's why I like it so much. If I'm lying, it's like I'm lying in my bed and I'm thinking, yes, you know, this is that Christmas. I'll teach you all your children name the while that you are here. Mm-hmm. It's great. And that will be better for your poor souls when your corpse lies on the bier. Isn't that gorgeous? It has the same feeling about it as a child's Christmas in Wales or something, you know, something, or the plum pudding or something. It happens every year at this time, and it's part of this event that is a big thing, you know. So it's that kind of, the idea that they go around and they'd sing those things in the darkness to make it really special, I think.
These carolers On this cassette, their leader was a man named Henry Crocker, keeping alive a tradition they inherited from their parents, who inherited it from their parents and their parents' parents. And as far as I'd ever heard, Greens Harbor Trinity Bay was the only place in Newfoundland where this magical tradition existed. Over the years, I kept a cassette, and every Christmas, I imagined those Greens Harbor singers walking through the snow, standing in darkened kitchens, and singing these old melodies. The music floating right through the ceiling to the people upstairs, listening. What a beautiful tradition, I thought. I hope it never fades. But it has.
Hello?
Hi, is Henry there, please?
Yeah, just...
Oh, is this Edna?
Yeah.
Hi, it's Chris Brooks calling. I'm the guy that called the other night asking about the caroling.
Yeah.
Is he home?
Yeah, Henry's here. Hold on.
Okay.
Yeah?
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Crocker.
Yes, how are you?
Fine. It's Chris Brooks calling. I don't think you know me. I called you years and years ago.
No, don't go too many years now.
I was speaking to Edna there the other night.
Yeah.
I was always in love with the idea of the caroling tradition that you have.
Yeah.
Out there, and I wondered.
Used to have.
You used to have.
Yeah.
Do you still go around to the houses at all?
No. Can't get enough people interested.
Really?
No, it's sad, but it's a fact. We haven't been around now for, must be 5 or 6 years.
Oh, what a shame.
Yeah. Can't seem to... The young people are just not interested. And a lot of the older people, of course, they don't want to go now because they're getting older. And can't get enough of the younger generation to carry on.
That's a shame because...
Yeah, it's a shame, I know.
Because that's a beautiful tradition.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, we all... That was one of the, if not the highlight of Christmas time. You looked forward to caroling or serenading on Christmas Eve night, and it was just a remarkable, remarkable thing to happen. You know, and it was an all-night vigil. You'd start around 10 o'clock or so, and wherever daylight overtook you, that's where you'd leave and come home.
Yeah.
And, but it's gone out. And, like I say, it's sad.
Well, I'm really sorry to hear
it. It breaks my heart.
Then, a couple of years ago, I was in the car and I happened to be listening to the CBC program Richardson's Roundup. It was early January and they were playing a listener's call to their phone machine.
Good afternoon. I'm calling from the upper reaches of Notre Dame Bay and the northeast coast of the island of Newfoundland. I thought that you and your listeners might be interested in a long-established tradition in this area from at least the time of my great-great-grandparents, that is, from at least the early to the mid-1800s. The people in these villages would go from house to house during the Christmas season to sing carols. Furthermore, there was the New Year's Carol, which was sung in similar fashion on New Year's Eve and on New Year's Night. After some assurance that everybody had gone to bed, then the carolers would start out and would go from house to house, enter the kitchen of the house, because the doors were never locked, and then break into song, thereby awakening everyone in the house, snugly asleep in their humble beds. Every householder would be expecting the carolers, of course, and people would be extremely disappointed if their homes were not visited. So the carolers always made an effort to visit every home in the village, regardless how humble, starting around midnight and going until as late in the morning as 5 or 6 o'clock. Usually one carol was sung at Christmas, and that was the so-called Christmas carol, namely, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. I might add that the words of the carol were likely to be a little different from the version usually found in books. Of particular interest was the New Year's Carol, which was based on an old English carol, but the wording was much different, although the first of the 8 or 10 verses was similar. The tune seems to be an artifact of this region. I would be interested in knowing if anyone has some related information. As I said previously, I am not aware of this particular tradition of caroling existing at any other place in Newfoundland, and I have never heard of a New Year's carol being sung any place else. It is interesting to note that although the tradition has been slowly dying, it is still continued in some of the villages. If you are ever in this area around Christmas time, do make inquiries. If you have never been aroused from your winter slumbers by these sincere voices singing with gusto about the fundamentals of their Christian faith, you have missed quite an experience. One could do worse than go caroling in an outport Newfoundland village.
At Richardson's Roundup, the only record they had was that the call had come from somewhere in Notre Dame Bay. And so it took a bit of digging, but I finally tracked down that phone call. It came from Brighton. That's near Card Harbour, which is near Pilly's Island, near Robert's Arm, near Southbrook. And when Christmas came again, I drove through that rosary of place names.
Just past the sign that says Brighton Tax Boundary. Little red and white sign. Past several houses. A little causeway. It's like a picture postcard. It's a basketball hoop mounted by the side of the road. Now there's an old house. White clapboard. Small peak roof. There's somebody in a small skiff out there. Looks like he's anchoring it off. There must be a population of, I don't know, 500 people. Go right around the harbor, I was told. Right around to the third last house. Oh, it's a gorgeous little harbor, really protected, and the houses nestled around it. This is a postcard of a community. It's gorgeous. Little green clapboard house. Community. Whacks of snow out on this side of the harbor. There's a little ranch house with a satellite dish on top. Cable for satellite TV. Big red bow on a garage there. Wreaths on the houses. After dark, this will look very Christmassy. This looks like it. Grey Toyota van. This must be Lloyd Ryan's place.
I'm Lloyd Ryan, and I grew up in Robert's Arm. And as a boy, I had the tremendous experience of lying in bed, being awakened by the sounds coming from the kitchen of a group of people singing the carol. And I have tremendously warm feelings of listening to this carol singing out in the kitchen. I imagined that I died and gone to heaven, however unexpectedly, because the singing was just so beautiful. All of these uncultured voices, some of them rather liberated now by copious amounts of various kinds of beverage. It was a tremendous experience.
You didn't get up, did you?
No, you stayed in bed.
Right.
No, you stayed in bed, and somebody might shout, "Thank you." In fact, I went around singing the carol here in Brighton because I came here when I was 18 years old as a teacher. And I went around singing the carol here in Brighton, and it was isolated at that time. And it's interesting that we had already stopped doing it in Robert's Arm, where I grew up. But because this village was isolated at the time, they were still doing it, and I participated. And I recall going into a number of houses where people shouted, "Sing it again." And we proceeded to do so.
But they would never see your faces.
No, they had no idea who was in their house. And they didn't care. But I've never heard anything other than that this was a part of the tradition. And going around singing the carol has been a part of the tradition as long as anybody can remember, or anybody can remember anybody else remembering. It is a long-standing tradition and began to fade away with the advent of the roads and TV. The tradition died out almost completely, but in Brighton, a group of people decided that it would be a good thing to revive the tradition. And they have been going around to, at least a small number of houses, singing either the Christmas carol and or the New Year's carol. So for a number of years, I've participated with them.
So tell me what you expect to happen tonight.
Well, tonight, after the family dinner, people will sit around, they will have a chat, they will have a few drinks, and maybe around 10 o'clock, somebody will suggest, I expect, that maybe we should go singing the carol.
Okay, guys, we're going to practice the New Year's carol.
No!
What do you say?
Don't bring me down.
You will have to admit this is an awfully joyous, uplifting, fa-la-la-la-la kind of thing, right?
Don't bring me down.
I'm Kevin Anthony from Robert's Arm, Green Bay. I was anywhere from 13, I'd say about 13 years old, the first time I accompanied a group singing the carol. And I was invited along because I could play the carol on the accordion. We're very unpredictable, actually. Yeah. Well, what you should see or hear, it's 12 or 15 of us, or 15 or 20, whatever decides to go. We'll go into a person's house and we'll sing a couple songs. We'll most likely do the New Year's carol, and we're gone. We'll just wish them a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, and we'll be gone. And hopefully, we'll leave them with a warm Christmassy feeling. Well, we'll look for places where we know that they're home. And, preferably with the lights off so that we can surprise them. And it's a tradition. I think it's important to keep our traditions so that they're not lost.
I'm Judy Fudge from Brighton.
And I think we're... So much of Christmas has really got away from us, you know, it's sort of taken over by all the commercialization and so on, that it's one of the few things that you do have some amount of control over, you know, and like Kevin said, you know, for the older people, you know, so much of it has been lost, so if there's even some part of it that can be saved, you know, it's... it's good for them, and it's good for all of us. I think it's probably something then that, like, when we've gone out so far, there hasn't been any of the really, like, the kids gone. I'd say Rachel is probably the youngest one. I think Rachel has gone with us, and she's, you know, she's in her mid-20s. But still, it's something they would probably be aware of, the fact if we are doing it. And they would probably, you know, maybe sometime down the road, if we keep doing it, it's much more likely to happen.
Judy mentioned the commercialization of Christmas, and the idea of Christmas has changed. Seems like the business people has taken over.
I think another thing, too, is that there's so many more forms of entertainment now. You know, like, but way back then, well, what did you have? Well, when I was growing up, so we did have TV to some extent, but you didn't get out to concerts, or and this was the entertainment that you got. And nowadays, I think people have so much other stuff to fill that, or to push out the, you know, the traditional things.
Television began to tell us that our traditions, our culture, had very little value. We saw and still see none of our culture, none of our traditions on TV. So that even today, if we try to talk to our children about what we experienced when we were children, they are not interested in that. So that the whole expectations of the culture, of the society has changed. And because of the expectations, the culture changes. There have been radical changes.
No matter where we go first, I suppose.
No, that makes no difference. We'll go around shore and start. I'd say we're going over to Evans and Willis.
I don't know how many houses that they will go to, but it could be a half dozen, it could be 10, it could be more. It depends on how many people have gone to bed and whose houses are available to go in. Because we have two things working against the group singing the carol. One is that people don't go to bed. They're up watching the late show, and they're probably going to be up until 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. The other thing is that people lock their doors. That and, of course, and TV.
And you know the type of, do you? You know just how tight everybody is locked up.
Oh. The tradition has a number of aspects on Pilly's Island and on Long Island. Carol singing could be used as a way of providing charity without the charity being acknowledged. People were very independent. So that if a particular family was in dire straits, the father of the family would be notified that if he went around singing the carol and went in people's houses, that he would probably find some gifts on the table that he could take home with him. It might have been a couple of dried codfish or something like that. And I've heard my father many years ago talking about a particular man who went singing the carol, who his family was in dire straits. The man collected several brin bags of food, and that he had enough food to tide his family over for a fair period of time. So there was that aspect to it.
All right. Who is the director?
Bye. Gaelic.
And we'll see you next year.
No, I wasn't on that. I was just sitting there, just talking a little bit, now me and my granddaughter, because she was there for all night. And all of a sudden, she said, Nan, she said, there's someone out there on the bridge. She said, crowd, she said. And I said, who could that be? So then you started singing, and I said, that's Carol Singers, my goodness. So I went out there, and I was out there, right there in the porch, and listen to you singing, watching you, and watching them that through the window, playing they were. I said, well, after all, I said, someone is out seeing the girls. It was beautiful.
Turn out the light. Turn out the light.
A Little Before Tis Day was recorded and produced by Chris Brooks. Special thanks to Anita Best and Christina Smith. Chris Brooks is a longtime contributor to Soundprint. If you'd like to hear his show again or his other programs, log on to our website. That's soundprint.org. Support for Soundprint comes from ToadNet, a provider of business and residential DSL throughout the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Visit toad.net to learn more about ToadNet's internet services or call 877-GET-TOAD. Soundprint is produced by the Soundprint Media Center in association with WAMU and American University. Next week on Soundprint, what color is your name?
My alphabet is beautiful with lots of hot reds and purples. And then my favorites, R, P, and B, the turquoise colors of a cold northern ocean. A word like depraved is a rich, swirling mix of green, purples, and deep reds.
We explore synesthesia, the crossing of the senses, next week on Soundprint. CDs of Soundprint cost, as always, $12.50. To order, call us toll-free at 1-888-38-TAPES. That's 1-888-38-TAPES, or order online at soundprint.org. We love to hear from you. Every once in a while, I read the mail, and yours could be next. So please email us your thoughts, your hopes, your dreams, your ideas for good radio. Our address, talkback@soundprint.org. Soundprint is technical director Anna Maria DeFreitas, associate producer Katie Gott, and sound engineer Jared Weisbrot. Our executive producer is Moira Rankin. I'm Barbara Bogave.